Aleluia, Aleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who was to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Whole Easter season, as we've focused on before, is a mystagogy, a period in which we help the newly baptized enter into the deep mysteries of the faith, and all those who have been baptized years or decades before to appreciate much more deeply the great gift of the faith that we have, so that these mysteries never become routine. We've got the Easter octave, which helps us to recognize that the risen Lord Jesus had truly risen from the dead and was appearing and giving instructions in order to be able to strengthen us to live in his risen presence. Then we get to the baptismal catechesis that the Church gives us, baptismal mystagogy. And that's been this week in which we enter into the reality that Jesus described to Nicodemus, that we have to be born anew from above by the power of the Holy Spirit who blows wherever he wills, that this leads us to living the truth so that every deed we do may be seen to be done in God. And now we come to what I like to call the second Easter octave. 8 days in which we ponder the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, in which we go from the catechesis on the sacrament of baptism, how in baptism we share Jesus' risen life, to the Eucharist, in which that risen life of Jesus enters anew into us each day, seeking to raise us fully from the dead and help us live with the supernatural conviction that, as Pope Francis says in Evangelii Gaudium, that Jesus with us, he walks at our side, he's with us to strengthen us, to bring us alive, to fill us with joy. That's what these 8 days communicate to us. And St. John introduces the miracle the way Jesus did historically, the mystery of the Eucharist by the miracle that Jesus did historically with the multiplication of loaves and fish. There are so many lessons we could preach retreats just on the scene, but let's take 3. The first is Jesus' extraordinary compassion. Where can we buy enough food for them to eat? He knew what he was going to do, but he wanted the disciples to see the dramatic need. He looked out upon the crowd as sheep without a shepherd, and the good shepherd was going to lay down his life in order to nourish them. But he wanted his closest followers to share that gut-bursting mercy. Jesus continues to look at us with compassion, and he gives us the only food that he has deemed worthy of our souls, which is himself. The second is the way that he works the miracle here in the gospel, and that he continues to try to work the miracle of his risen presence in the midst of the world. He could do it all himself. He who created the heavens and the earth, every fruit-bearing tree, every animal for food, he could have just had them pop into existence right there on the mountain. But he didn't. He wanted to incorporate the contributions of those around him. So he asked, "What is there?" And they brought him this young boy with the 5 little panini and the 2 sardines, as I like to call it. Tiny little stuff. Wouldn't have been enough even for the apostles to eat. 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. Shows how they lived their own poverty, but also showed the endemic poverty of all those in the region. But Jesus started from there, and he worked the extraordinary gift that he doesn't need much, he just wants our help. He did the same thing in the wedding feast of Cana, where he could have invented the wine just with a thought, but wanted to involve the servants. So Jesus is constantly asking for our efforts every day. You probably know the story of Cardinal Francois Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan, in prison for 13 years in Vietnam, 9 years in solitary confinement, how he was losing his mind in the dark cell. He couldn't figure out why the Lord would allow what happened to him to have happened to him. When the people in a time of communist persecution in Saigon needed a shepherd, there he was in a dark, dank, vermin-infested pit, capable apparently of doing nothing. But the Lord let a little bit of his light penetrate his mind. And he remembered the scene of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he just said, "The Lord wants what we can give on the course of any given day." And so there in the prison cell, he tried to offer his 5 loaves and 2 fish, or 5 breadcrumbs and 2 fish bones, or whatever it was on a given day to the Lord. There are days that we might feel spent, that we've got nothing to give. We're exhausted, we're beaten down, whatever. The Lord looks at the vast crowd, and he wants us to focus on them more than we focus on ourselves. And he says, "Give what you have to me and watch." And it's in those days where we really feel like we have nothing to offer that we're far more appreciative of the miracle that the Lord works than if we were to bring him truckloads of material. The third lesson that I'd like to focus on here is what was left over. You know, Jesus is going to work a miracle. He could have worked it so that there wouldn't be one crumb left. He who had given everybody an appetite would have known exactly what would satiate them all, such that they couldn't have another morsel. But they didn't even have 5 loaves and 2 fish left over. They had 12 wicker baskets, one for each of the apostles, including Judas, so that they would know that when they give their 5 loaves and 2 fish, when they give all, that the Lord's still going to give them even more than what they started with. That they think that they're going to go empty and the car's going to just die on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, they begin to figure out that the Lord constantly replenishes the tank so that that's able to take them all the way across the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem. In the middle of our activities, when we think that we've got nothing to show for it, the Lord wants us to remember that though we might not see it yet, He's going to allow us to count a wicker basket full, that we gave Him very little, and as a result of that little, multiplied by His own prayer, we finish with something great. The Lord wanted His followers to share in His miracle in this way, so that not only would they see a sign, but they themselves would become a sign. And that's the key that unlocks today's first reading. It's an extraordinary scene if we just sort of pull back a little bit and ask what's really going on. Gamaliel was St. Paul's teacher. He was the greatest rabbi of the day, known by all the Jewish sources of the time. And when they were interrogating a third time the apostles before them, the same people who had conspired to crucify Jesus were threatening to do the same thing to his apostolic band. Gamaliel, with his authority, makes them leave the room. And then he says something that we should ask the question, why didn't he say it on Holy Thursday night when they were ramrodding Jesus down? Why didn't he ask the question that they might be opposing the will of God? Why didn't he just say, be careful about what you're about to do? He didn't. Like everybody else, he was there as perjury suborned, and an innocent man went to die for the people. What was different this time? Even more powerful than the witness Jesus gave was the witness being given by his disciples after the resurrection. Jesus himself didn't penetrate through Gamaliel's hardened heart. But what the disciples were doing got him to start to ask the questions. And he gives the historical lessons with the perspective of somebody who had seen a lot. He started to recount all those charismatic leaders whom, once they died, had all of their followers disbanded. And then he's looking at these uneducated men. And after Jesus' resurrection, or their claim that he had risen from the dead, they were willing to suffer anything. And that they'd actually cured the cripple at the beautiful gate. And that nothing that was happening could rob them of their joy, could rob them of their simplicity, could rob them of anything they held dear, that they were totally unafraid. And yet they were saying, and this got Gamaliel scratching his head. Likewise with us. When we start to allow the Lord to incorporate us ever more in His work, we can become a greater sign even than Jesus. Don't take my word for it. Take Thomas Aquinas' word for it. Thomas Aquinas said, and it's one of the things that I go back to. We all have times, sisters, in which the devil's going to try to come on in and get our faith challenged in one way or the other. It's what I hold in my hands at the beginning of Mass. Really? That all of a sudden it becomes God in my very hands with my own sinful being, that God comes down and I'm able to give you God? That I'm able to return your soul to its baptismal state, that God has actually called me to continue His work in the world and prepare people for heaven. Sometimes the devil, especially on those bad days, and we all have bad days, can start to assail you every way that you want. And one of the things that I always go back to is Thomas Aquinas. When he looked at what the first apostles did, that with all their inadequacies, they were able to fulfill Jesus' valedictory imperative to go to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, he said. If these uneducated men were able to convince the ancient world that a crucified carpenter had actually raised and was still alive, working through them, if that were false, if that were a made-up concoction, that they were able to be so successful with people who were so down to earth would be an even greater miracle than Jesus' resurrection. But that's precisely what we're seeing here in the witness. That's precisely how urgent it is for us each day to give our 5 loaves and 2 fish so the Lord's able to multiply that in a miracle and a sign that will bring so many others to faith. Today we have 3 examples of that. First, St. Peter Chanel. Peter became a missionary, a Marianist. He was sent down to the South Pacific to an island. I can't even remember what the name is, and I'm sure it's changed. But it was there that he labored to bring the faith. Eventually, the local chieftain became envious, and so he killed him. But within 2 months, the whole island was converted because he became that sign. They had seen something different, something that was truly good and full of God. And when the chieftain slay him, that's when they began to open up to the way that God had visited their people. And they all embraced what he had learned, his willingness to rejoice in suffering on account of the name, to travel so far to get to them and to be willing to give his life for them. That became a sign pointing to Jesus' sign. St. Gianna Barettamola, if there's a choice when I'm under, choose him, she said, not knowing whether she was carrying a boy or a girl. Something that just blew away her fellow doctors. And it's a sign that continues to give hope even to this day of that type of maternal love that points to the source of love, that her sign of giving her life for the sake of another points to Jesus doing so for her, for her child, and for the rest of us. And St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort, as a great missionary who suffered so much during his life, his writings were only discovered after he had died. But he himself, in preaching so many missions, doing so many things that were considered crazy during this day, almost play acting in the mission so that people would be able to see the consequence of their life, how he was ridiculed. But all of that became a sign pointing to the way Jesus was willing to do everything, even the totally crazy things of the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the perpetual abiding among us in the Holy Eucharist, pointing to the fact that we're all called to become fools for Christ. And he received strength to be able to do this by entering into Mary's total self-gift, her own sign that points to the signified who was the blessed fruit of her own womb. They were all incorporated into Jesus' gift. They gave all that they had to the Lord, and the Lord has multiplied it and continues to feed us to this day. They accounted their sufferings worth it because they were, through those sufferings, more and more united to the Lord. And so today, for the Lord, we might not all be flogged. Some of us may. We may not all be flogged by the experiences of this day. But when we have those types of contradictions that come on up, let us ask the Lord for the grace that we may respond to them in such a way that others, in seeing that, might see the Lord in his cross and in his resurrection radiating through our own experiences. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we remember that just like in Cana of Galilee and just like on this mountainside, the Lord asks our efforts in the incorporation of the greatest sign of them all. This is not just the fruit of the earth and the fruit of the vine, but the work of human hands. The Lord incorporates our sacrifices with His here to the Father. And then He gives us Himself so that dwelling within us, we may in tandem become that sign that will lead people to faith. Through the intercession of St. Gianna, St. Peter Chanel, St. Louis-Marie Grignon de Montfort, let's place all we have on the paten, so that we might dwell in the house of the Lord today and look upon the Lord's loveliness forever.